Hello, everybody. With Bob Christopher and Richard Piper, I'm Bob Davis, and we welcome you to Basic Gospel, a media ministry dedicated to helping you hear, believe, and live the good news of Jesus Christ. Today, we continue in our study through the Simple Gospel, Simply Grace study guide, and we'll be picking up on page 16, That Damascus Road. As always, during our study editions, the phone lines are not open so that everyone can listen and participate. It's Basic Gospel, everybody. Now, here's Bob Christopher.
Well, thanks, Bob. We are continuing in our study today on page 16, chapter 2. It's called the 180. Last week, we talked a lot about Paul's conversion. And boy, that was fun to dive into Acts chapter 9, I guess, and to see what actually took place as Paul was going to Damascus. He was on that road to Damascus, and he saw that great light, and everything changed at that moment for Paul. And we couch that in terms of repentance. Paul needed a change of mind as far as the plan of God was concerned. And that change of mind occurred, or the initiation of that change of mind occurred, the moment he saw Jesus or was confronted by Jesus. So we spent a little time last week defining repentance, and we want to start right there today. We want to again repeat what we said last week and really lay the foundation for the rest of this chapter. So, Richard, you brought to the airwaves last week, I think, a really exciting and clear definition of the word repentance. You've taken it a little deeper than just the normal change of mind. Mm-hmm. You've added some texture and color and substance to it. So tell us exactly what repentance is.
Well, originally the word for repentance was an archery term. It meant that if you were trying to shoot at a target and you were missing the target, you had to refocus, you had to recenter your vision on the right target so that you could hit it with the arrow. Well, think about that in the context of spiritual enlightenment and this issue of salvation, and you realize that you're wandering around through life and you have no purpose or direction at all. Or if you have one, it's completely wrong. Paul had a purpose and a vision. It was completely wrong. As soon as he was confronted with Jesus, his vision completely changed. It not only changed from what he was doing to Jesus, but it was this centering, this being amid something, in the midst of something. It's almost like all Jesus needed was for Paul to look at him, and Jesus enveloped him. And now Paul is within Jesus, and the change begins in earnest. There's this initial moment of salvation. There's the initial moment of a renewed mind as the Holy Spirit takes up residence. And the longer you focus on Jesus, the more enveloped in him you become. And that's repentance.
Yes, it is. And it happens when we see Jesus.
Yes.
It's that first moment that we lay our eyes on Christ. Things start to change within us. And in the book, I wrote this sentence: grace moves our thoughts and beliefs to the right place and to the right person.
Yes.
This is repentance. And that's exactly what happened with Paul on that road to Damascus. His thoughts and his heart were moved to Jesus, centered right upon the person of Jesus Christ. And later he learned all about Jesus. He learned exactly what Jesus came to do. And that's what we want to talk about as we move through the rest of this chapter. So that Damascus Road experience was a moment of clarity for Paul. Jesus was not the renegade Paul thought he was. No, Jesus was and is both Lord and God. And this encounter turned Paul from unbelief to belief. That's what happens inside of us. That's part of this repentance. Our hearts go from unbelief to belief. It's a complete 180-degree turn, not only in his recognition that Jesus is God, but also in his understanding of the plan of God.
Yes.
And I think that's a critical part of this as well. So Paul had an idea as to what the plan of God was, and all of that changed when he met Jesus. He saw the real plan of God. And so let's look at a couple of passages and see what Paul thought before he met Jesus, and then see what happened to Paul after he met Jesus. So our first passage today is Romans 7, 9 through 11. And here's what Paul wrote in that passage. Once I was alive apart from the law, but when the commandment came, sin sprang to life and I died. I found that the very commandment that was intended to bring life actually brought death. For sin, seizing the opportunity afforded by the commandment, deceived me and through the commandment put me to death. So what happened to Paul when he understood the significance of the commandment?
He realized he was dead.
He realized he was dead. Once he was alive apart from the law, and he actually thought that the law was intended to bring life.
Yes.
So his obedience to life would merit him, would reward him,
yes,
with eternal life at the end of days. That was what Paul understood. That was the Jewish mindset of the day. But when he really looked into the law and saw it for what it was, he died. And he actually saw that sin used the opportunity that the commandment afforded and deceived Paul, and through the commandment put him to death. So that's what happened to Paul when he actually saw what the commandment was really saying. So the commandment that Paul refers to in this passage,
yes,
is do not covet. So, you know, we think about all these, you know, do not kill, do not commit adultery, and we think, well, I've never done that. But there's kind of a catch-all here at the end, and it's all about covenant, what goes on inside the heart. And when Paul saw that, do not covet, that's when sin sprang to life.
Yes.
And that's what the commandment afforded sin. That was the opportunity. And through that, Paul died. It's kind of interesting, isn't it?
Yeah. And what he is saying here is that the law did exactly what it was supposed to do, rather than what he was trying to force it to do. It did exactly what it was supposed to do, and that's what made it possible for him, with finally this moment of clarity, to say, wow, if it's not Jesus, it's nothing at all.
Right, absolutely. So in Paul's mind, before he met Jesus, the Mosaic covenant was God's plan for salvation. Mm-hmm. So it was up to him to live up to those righteous commandments. And as he said in the book of Philippians, he was faultless as to legalistic righteousness. So he thought he was doing a pretty good job. And that's just how deceived he was. I mean, how can condoning the killing of Stephen be a good and holy and righteous thing? Yet in his mind, he thought he was doing God a favor,
yeah,
by getting rid of this this sect called the Way. But he found out completely different. So he thought the law was God's plan for salvation. Then he saw Jesus, and he saw the real plan of God standing right in front of him. So let's move on to 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 6. And as we've said a number of times on the broadcast, this is a signature verse for basic gospel. This is one of those verses that we take our stand on as a ministry. Because Paul says he has made us competent as ministers of a new covenant, not of the letter, but of the Spirit. For the letter kills, but the Spirit gives life. So Paul, before meeting Christ, he was a minister of that old covenant. Mm-hmm. And he loved that job. He cherished,
yes,
that job. And then everything changed with Jesus. So what did Paul conclude concerning the purpose of the law according to 2 Corinthians 3:6? What did the law do?
Killed me.
It kills. That's exactly what the letter does. It kills. He goes on in this passage and he describes the law. And when he talks about the law, some people think it's just the ceremonial law that Paul is referring to. But he makes it real clear because he says those commandments that were written on stone.
Yes.
And we know those to be the Ten Commandments. So he is saying that the Ten Commandments brought death. Those Ten Commandments kill. As a matter of fact, the ministry of the law is to condemn, to judge, and to kill. That's what it does. That's the language that it speaks to us. Mm-hmm. I tell people, you know, go back to the times that you've tried to live up to the righteous requirements of the law, that you've done everything that you know to do to live up to those ten. When you ended your day, what did the law say to you about your performance? Did it say, hey, that a boy, good job, great going? Absolutely not. It doesn't know that language. The only language it can speak is a language of condemnation and death. Why? Because that's what's been built into the law. The wages of sin is death. If you violate the law will say guilty, guilty, guilty. Nothing else. Nothing else. It won't pat you on the back and say, I know you messed up today, but maybe tomorrow, if you try a little harder, you'll get it. No, it just says guilty, condemned, death. That's the language of the law. Why? Because the letter kills. What gives life? It's the Spirit of God. And Paul became a minister of this new covenant, of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the only message, the only way for people to be saved. So not only did his mind change about the person of Jesus Christ, going from, hey, a renegade to both Lord and God, to the plan of God, going from human effort to obedience to the law to faith in Jesus Christ. That's the radical nature of this repentance that we go through as human beings.
Yes, indeed. Well, friends, you're listening to the Basic Gospel Friday teaching series through Simple Gospel, Simply Grace, the study guide of that name, and it's available at basicgospel.net/teaching. That's a special section of our website that's been put there to serve these Friday editions. So take advantage of it. You can get your copy of the study guide there, as well as the weekly study notes as they're released week to week. So we encourage you to take advantage of it, basicgospel.net/teaching. Well, let's go back to our study, Bob. Christopher, Richard Piper, my name is Bob Davis, and friends, thank you for joining us.
Well, now we're going to move forward to 1 Corinthians chapter 15, and we're going to look at verses 3 and 4. And Paul really lays out what the gospel message is in this particular passage. He said, "For what I received, I passed on to you as of first importance, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, that he was buried, that he was raised on the third day according to the Scriptures." So that's the gospel message. That's the most succinct statement of the gospel
Yes.
in the New Testament, the death, the burial, the resurrection of Jesus Christ. So that's the plan of God for salvation. So if we're going to be saved, we have to abide by this plan. We have to accept this plan. We have to rest in this plan as the means for us going from death to life. So it's an interesting plan. Because when you look at it, you have to say, where does it start? What's the lead chapter in this plan of God? And it starts with death, doesn't
yeah.
it? It's kind of interesting yeah. to think that good news starts with death.
Hmm. Yeah.
But good news started with death. Jesus died in our place to take the punishment for our sins and to fulfill the old covenant for each and every one of us. The wages of sin being death. He fulfilled that.
Yes.
He fulfilled it in full. So the lead event, the lead chapter of this gospel story is death. Now we ask the question, why is this important for us to understand? In my mind, before I really got a hold of the fact that Jesus came that I might have life, I looked at Christianity as a self-improvement plan. I'd gotten the forgiveness. You know, I'd been given that golden ticket to grant me entry into heaven when I die. But from that point until the day I died, it was up to me to live the Christian life. It was on my shoulders to carry out this love and all of these things in my day-to-day experience. And I didn't do so well. And I had to come to grips with I had it wrong about the plan of God. Christianity is not a self-improvement plan. God isn't interested in making us better. He's interested in making dead people alive. So we have to realize that we are dead spiritually, just as Paul had to realize that. And once we come to that realization that our true condition is spiritual death, that's when the good news story really starts to make sense, that God has planned a resurrection for us in the same way that he raised Jesus from the dead. So if we don't get the fact that the gospel starts with death, it's not really going to make sense to us.
No.
And we really have to grab hold of that. So here's how Paul described this gospel story taking place in his life. So this is found in Galatians chapter 2, verses 19 through 20. So Paul wrote this, "For through the law I died to the law, so that I might live for God. I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. And the life I now live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me." So how did this gospel story take place in his life? What happened first? He was crucified with Christ, and he no longer lives, but Christ lives in him. So we see the death, the burial, and the resurrection right there. Crucified with Christ, no longer lives, Christ lives in me.
Yes.
And the life that he lives in the body, it's by faith in the Son of God who loved him and gave himself for him. That's how the gospel story manifests itself in our lives. We die in Christ, we're buried in Christ, we're raised to walk in the newness of life. And Paul really identifies what that newness of life is: faith in Jesus, the one who loved him and gave himself for him. So he died to the law, what he thought was the plan of God. He died to it so that he could actually live to God. He was crucified with Christ. He no longer lives, but Christ lives in him. If you're a believer right now, if you've come to faith in Jesus Christ, you have been crucified with Christ. You have been buried in Christ, and you have been raised to walk in the newness of life. If you're listening right now and you have never come to Christ, will you let this gospel story manifest itself in you? Will you come to that point and say, "Lord, I know I'm dead, and everything that I've tried, I still feel this emptiness inside of me. And today, I want that to be filled with your life. And so I take my last breath of human effort. I'm going to put that in the grave, and I'm going to trust you to raise me up to walk in the newness of life. I'm no longer looking at Christianity or any belief system as a way to make me better. I don't want to be better. I want to die in you so that I can come alive in you." And if that's your desire, I pray that you would just open your heart and receive Christ right now, because that is the gospel story: the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Christ. Now, we see this story in vivid detail in one of the last miracles that Jesus actually performed. It's recorded for us in John chapter 11. It's the story of Jesus raising Lazarus from the dead. And there's some interesting, I think, nuances within this story. So let me just read the paragraph that we have here in the middle of page 17. "One of the last miracles Jesus performed occurred in the tiny village of Bethany, and it involved three of his most beloved followers, Mary, Martha, and Lazarus. And Lazarus was near death. His condition was serious. Now Martha and Mary sent an urgent word to Jesus, asking him to come quickly. They were hoping for and expecting a miracle. But their hopes were dashed. Jesus did not arrive on time. And when he did arrive, Lazarus had already been in the tomb 4 days. Now, Jesus intentionally stayed away, but he had a reason for doing so." So let's kind of work our way through this particular passage. Richard, would you read for us John 11:21?
Yeah, one of the truest statements ever written. Yeah. "Lord," Martha said to Jesus, "if you had been here, my brother would not have died."
Right. And Mary said exactly the same thing. So maybe the first time in their relationship
that they
were on the same page, one with another. But they had high hopes for their brother Lazarus. They really did, because they were followers of Jesus. They had seen all the miracles that he had performed, and they knew how much Jesus loved them. I mean, they had felt it. He was in their home and all of that. So they knew that Jesus loved them. And they felt like if they could just get a message to Jesus, he would drop everything and come on behalf of his friends and to do for them what he had done for so many other people: touch them, look at them, say something, and heal them instantly. Mm-hmm. So they had hopes that Jesus would make Lazarus better. Now, I hope folks are listening, because Christianity isn't a philosophy to make us better. It isn't a religion to make us better. It's a religion that takes dead people and makes them alive.
Yes.
That's what Christ does. And here Jesus is wanting to make that point. So their hopes were for Jesus to come and make Lazarus better, to heal him. But Jesus had something else in mind, and he said to Martha, I am the resurrection and the life. The one who believes in me will live even though they die, and whoever lives by believing in me will never die. Do you believe this? Do you believe the plan of God for Lazarus? Because that's where you're going to find your real hope. Mm-hmm. Not in what you had envisioned happening, not what you had prayed to happen, but what God had planned to happen. If you want hope, real hope, genuine hope, lasting hope, enduring hope, transcending hope, it has to be in the plan of God, not your idea of what the plan of God was. So here Jesus was confronting their ideas, their human hopes, their human understandings. Martha and Mary had the same idea, and even the people that were gathered there, they were thinking the same thing. If Jesus had come, this would have never happened. But Jesus is going to give a living hope, and that's in the resurrection. So he said, do you believe this? And they're all thinking, Lord, you can't raise Lazarus. He's been in that tomb for 4 days. The body is starting to stink. It's going to be terrible. But he said, take the stone away. Then Jesus looked up and said, Father, I thank you that you have heard me. I knew that you always hear me, but I said this for the benefit of the people standing here, that they may believe that you sent me. And when he had said this, Jesus called in a loud voice, Lazarus, come out. The dead man came out, his hands and feet wrapped with strips of linen and a cloth around his face. And Jesus said to them, take the grave clothes off and let him go. This is the plan of God. This is what the gospel message is all about. We were dead. We were wrapped in grave clothes. We needed to be made alive. Jesus is the resurrection and the life. He's the one that makes that happen. And when our eyes get fixed on him, and when our heart gets in tune with the plan of God, new life happens. That's why Paul wrote in Romans 10, if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, that's what happened with Paul when he saw Jesus on the road to Damascus, and you believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. The plan of God, death, burial, resurrection. Just as he was crucified, you die. Just as he was buried, your old you is buried. That old man is buried. Just as he was raised back to life, you are raised to walk in the newness of life. That is the plan of God. And repentance, the grace of God, moves your heart and mind to recognize Jesus and to recognize his plan and say, I'm all in. That's exactly what happened to Paul. Yes. That's what happens to us when we come to faith in Jesus.
Absolutely. Really, really good stuff, guys. Thank you for sharing. Friends, we're glad that you've joined us for the study edition of Basic Gospel. Keep in mind that the Simple Gospel, Simply Grace Study Guide, and the weekly study notes that are made available, of course, as each week passes, they're available every week at basicgospel.net/teaching. Again, that's basicgospel.net/teaching. A reminder, too, that Basic Gospel needs your ongoing help to keep the good news on the air. If you think this is good news, we think it is, and we hope that you'll join us. We ask you to join with us today, if you can, by clicking Donate on our website, any page on our website, basicgospel.net. Again, basicgospel.net. Again, thanks for being with us on this Friday edition, everybody. Now for Bob Christopher, for Richard Piper, and the Basic Gospel Ministry team, I'm Bob Davis, inviting you back Monday for another live edition of Basic Gospel. We trust that you'll have a great weekend in and because of the Lord Jesus Christ. Bye-bye. See you then. Bye-bye.